Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Du Hirsu,
with a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening.
Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water.
They came to Jericho, and as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said to him, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way.
If we lay a strong enough foundation, we'll pass it on to you. We'll give the world to you. He'll blow us all away. Someday, someday. Yeah, you'll blow us all away. Someday, someday.
God, may your grace lay a strong foundation in our hearts and our bodies and in our lives this day. As we gather at the rivers of new life, may we feel and trust that your deep and abiding love is all we need, indeed all the world needs. And may we encounter that love in this very moment. Amen. The song that our music team just shared is from the album Hamilton, or the musical Hamilton, which debuted on Broadway in 2015. And Sarah and I are a few of the hyper-privileged people who have been able to make our way over to San Francisco and to see that show. And the moment that that song came on is one of the many times during the musical where, as Lin-Manuel Miranda sings, I was undone. Looking on at your child, for those of us who've had the gift of being a parent, you're undone at some of those moments. And that's what happened to me as we were there in the theater in San Francisco. The director who won a Tony Award from Come From Away is Christopher Ashley, and Christopher describes Hamilton with these words: "It's maybe the most famous show in the history of shows. The way it's penetrated the culture is unbelievable. It reimagines the founding fathers, not as a bunch of puffy white guys, but of telling a story of immigrants and casting a show with what immigrants look like now. It connects the story of America as an immigrant nation to its first moments, and it does this with an incredible, smart, and cunning artistry." So I know that many of us haven't seen Hamilton, and we don't know the storyline, but it tells the story of Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton. And Burr infamously took the life of Alexander Hamilton in a duel in the end of the second act. And what happens as this play moves, and it moves in so many different directions, you see the coming together of these two men. This is actually the song that they just sang, is the only moment in the musical in which they're on stage together and singing in harmony together. For the rest of the time, these two men are trying to make their way in competition, and they become enemies, and the complexity of their relationship unfolds. But in Lin-Manuel Miranda's version of this, we see a young African-American man, a young Puerto Rican American man, playing the roles of these founding fathers who we often forget were themselves immigrants. And so in this moment, as we look on at Hamilton, we're called to see the real. Mimesis is the word that's been used. We're called to see the real before us in a new way through this artistic expression. We see and wonder about, as they sing about their own childhood and their hopes together, our own, the founding immigrant fathers of our nation, alongside the immigrants of our own day. Looking on at this, we're challenged to look within. They sing, "Dear Theodosia, what to say to you? If we lay a strong enough foundation, we'll pass it on and give the world to you, and you'll blow us all away." This song has echoed every time over the last couple of weeks and months that we have turned together, Linda and I, to Mark chapter 10, and we finally, after all of these weeks of really, really challenging texts, we finally come to this moment in which we can celebrate what's happening in the life of this beggar on the side of the road near to Jericho. This song has just kept coming up for me, "Dear Theodosia." And it's happening in part because of what happens in Mark 10 in terms of the naming. So I want to share that with us for just a moment. Mark 10, 46 says, "They came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside." So if we're not familiar with the Gospel of Mark, we might just skip right past the naming here, but the naming is really, really significant, so I want to invite us to slow down and to look at this together for a moment. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. The word Bartimaeus literally translates as son of Timaeus. So in all of the Gospel of Mark, there is a total of one person who is healed who gets named. All of the rest of the people that are healed, we never learn their names. But at this moment in Mark's gospel, we learn not only that it's Bartimaeus, but we get it repeated. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. In the English, it would be like saying, son of Timaeus, son of Timaeus. So not only is it significant, but it's so important, they're just going to say it one more time to remind us. And maybe there are folks in here that have absolutely studied their Hebrew and their Greek, but for those of us that haven't, I'll share just a little background. Bartimaeus is not a Hebrew name or an Aramaic name. The language that Jesus spoke was Aramaic. It's neither Hebrew nor Aramaic. It's a Greek name. And that's really significant at this moment. It's a Greek name. We're going to come back to that in just a second. And what I want to suggest is that Mark's gospel is doing something radically similar to what Lin-Manuel Miranda's Hamilton did by turning history on its head in the casting of people of color and immigrants in the role of founding fathers, using an image that is common to all of us, and then challenging us to rethink what it is then and what that means for us now. Okay? Son of Timaeus is not an accidental name. There's a biblical scholar back in the Midwest whose name is Gordon Lathrop, and he wrote a book several years ago called Holy Ground, and his insights have profoundly shaped the way I'm thinking about this text right now, and I want to do my best to try to synthesize this phenomenal 400-page book in just a couple minutes. Good luck. And so one of the ways that he talks about it is to help us look at this name, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, reminding us that it's from the Greek. And I want to step back in to the text together with you for a moment and help us to read why this might be a radical reversal, something like Hamilton's. And I also think it shows us the arc of the story of baptism and what that means to us in the Christian image and mind. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, is a Greek name with a very specific and recognizable history. One of the very last books that Plato wrote, it was a trilogy, and the second in that trilogy is called Timaeus. So much like Lin-Manuel Miranda turned the famous story of our founding fathers upside down, The Gospel of Mark, I want to say this morning, is using a similar artistic strategy of mimicking or reversing the famous story from their day that Plato had shared on Timaeus. Everybody's with me? Okay. Hamilton is not throwing away his shot. That's a line that gets repeated in that musical over and over. And neither is this blind beggar on the side of the road in Jericho throwing away his. Jesus has just reflected, when we get to this moment in the story, Jesus has just reflected on baptism, as we'll celebrate together today, and challenged his followers not to be like the Gentiles. Another way of saying that right before this text is, don't be like the Greeks. So there's a setup for why Timaeus, a Greek name, is really, really important. After Jesus says, don't be like the Gentiles, don't be like the Greeks, they come to Jericho to a blind beggar, a Greek name, Bartimaeus, repeated in case you didn't hear it, son of Timaeus, crying out. And that Bartimaeus cries, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. That is the traditional language of the church in trying to say we want to trust in God. See, in Plato's Timaeus, Timaeus laments or cries out. But in Plato's, it's in vain. But in Mark's gospel, that outcry is heard and taken in. So, see, just like Lin-Manuel Miranda could have erased the history of the founding fathers and then just substitute it with something else. But what he did was integrate it into the story of Hamilton and help us rethink all of it in a way more ambiguous and complex way. That's what's happening right here in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus is drawing on this name of this person, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. And then, what does Bartimaeus do? He rises and he throws off his cloak, or the philosopher's cloak, you could say. The son of Timaeus is coming to Jesus, and in the tradition of Plato, identifying Jesus as my teacher. And then he asks to see, and upon receiving his sight, he follows Jesus on the way. So the cloak in the ancient world is the taking off of one's identity as a beggar or as a philosopher, and then being naked before the one that is the way, and then choosing to follow that. That is the movement that we celebrate at baptism, giving up or taking off one identity, and then placing the love of God as our only garment. And this is a way that involves more than ideas and reason. We throw off our cloak and find ourselves in all our nakedness. And then we're immersed in the way that is known in Jesus, that moves through his birth and life and ministry and death and resurrection. At baptism, we, like Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, take off our cloak and are born into a new way of being. See, the Gospel of Mark, it seems to me, has intentionally turned Plato's Timaeus upside down, much like Miranda has done in Hamilton. It's a mimetic retelling that says the way of Timaeus is taken off and the way of Jesus is put on. So instead of rejecting the good life as articulated by Plato, Plato's Timaeus is woven into the Gospel of Mark, and we're then challenged to face ourselves and to wonder, what is it we want to put on in our lives? Alexander Hamilton in the musical says, there's a million things I haven't done, just you wait. See, Bartimaeus is a lot like that on the side of the road. There's a million things I haven't done, just you wait. Not settling for business as usual. And see, Plato's Timaeus praises the philosophical importance of sight. And Mark's gospel doesn't reject that. It weaves it into its own story, and then this blind beggar learns to see in a different way. It's not sight or lack of sight that's the problem. It's re-understanding what sight even is, which is what Hamilton is doing for us. Plato's Timaeus is repeatedly interested in the heaven as this sphere out there. But in the Gospel of Mark, the heaven is opened up, and it comes here on earth among us. Again, not taking away Plato's notion, but turning it upside down. It's this radical reversal, calling us to take off our cloaks and move into relationship with Jesus to these waters that offer healing and hope. See, at the baptism of Jesus, a hole is opened up and the heavens come down, a great sound is heard, and God calls Jesus a beloved child and says, "I am well pleased with you." And as Jesus unearths his own identity, he journeys on the way, and then he ultimately performs his own reversal or subversion. Instead of death being the final note, we again find life turned upside down as resurrection has the last word. That's the movement that we celebrate in baptism. And one of the things about being a follower of Jesus on the way, it means that we're not yet there. And that's hard for us to get our heads around sometimes because we think we're not going to be a follower of Jesus until we have it all figured out. I hear that over and over. I can't come to church. I can't be in worship. I can't be in the kitchen table. I don't have it all set in stone. I don't know how it is. Two chapters ago in chapter 8, there's another blind person. We don't know that person's name. He gets sight, but his eyesight isn't healed all the way. It's like looking out at you all, he sees you like trees. And what I wonder is if that movement isn't true for us as followers of Jesus. That this baptism that we're born into is actually a process that we go from not seeing or having a cloak on that prevents us from seeing to seeing blurry to finally at a moment allowing the light to take shape within us. And so friends, today we celebrate. We celebrated at 9:30 adults who are taking off the cloak, not throwing away their shots, choosing to make this way of Jesus their way. And for them and for us, today is not an end. It is a beginning of moving ever deeper into the mystery of God's love that's shared in Jesus. And today at 11, we celebrate the baptism of three beautiful children whose parents sang to them, much like we heard from dear Theodosia. Those children are going to be brought by their families to these waters in hopes that we could lay a strong foundation as a community, that they might come to know and feel God's love for them and for the whole world every day of their life. And then, friends, today isn't just about that new baptism. It's also a reminder for those of us that either were brought here by our parents or folks who loved us or made that choice in our own adult life. This is a moment in which we will renew the mark that God has placed on our hearts and our bodies and our lives in the form of a cross that comes out of the water. We'll have stations to remember that. Today, we mark all of us as beloved children of God, and we use water to do that. It's maybe another reversal. How normal and everyday and necessary is the water? And then it, like Hamilton, like Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, becomes a revolutionary symbol that calls us into a whole new way of life. That's the foundation of God's love for us in Christian community. It's already been laid for us. We need not wear cloaks of any kind. Friends, you are loved just as you are. Mercy was found by Bartimaeus, and mercy is ours this day. Upon this foundation rests the mystery that is our faith. And so may that faith be known in these waters. May the faith of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, be passed on to us all. History has its eye on all of us. And God is singing to you something that echoes Lin-Manuel Miranda in his sharing to the world. Come to these waters, take off every cloak, rise this day to follow Jesus on the way. And in all of this, may you blow us all away. Amen.
And let all the poor, let them come to the water. Bring the ones who are laden, bring them all to the Lord. Bring the children without might, easy the load and light.
Anders Clyde, Brianne Grace, K. Caleb Dennis, Ellen Deborah, Emery Faye, Laura Ann, Magnolia Anita, Megan Lynn,
Zoe Joanna.
I baptize you in the name of God, the Creator.
In the name of Jesus, our Redeemer.
And in the name of the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer. The Holy Spirit, work within you, that being born through water and Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
Wash me, wash me, wash me. Ooh, let me rest in you. Let me flow away to glory. Save me, save me, save me.